So far, we've explained that social structures lead to violence against people who do not adhere to gender and sexuality norms. However, people do not only define themselves in relation to gender and sexuality. Actually, there are several social categories in which people situate themselves. These include class, race, where we live, our origin, and so on. So, violence against LGBTI plus people is not always the result of breaking with sexual and gender norms, but is also linked to other social categories. Therefore, not all LGBTI plus people have the same level of vulnerability in relation to violence, because LGBTI plus people are not a homogeneous social group. When we evaluate the vulnerability towards violence of a certain LGBTI plus person, we must take other factors into account that we will now examine. People do not identify themselves in only one social category. People are not just gay, heterosexual, intersex, or trans. In Western societies, there are several power structures that operate in unison, are entangled, and together make up a hierarchy of subjects. So, besides the aforementioned gender and sexuality structures, there are other structures in place, particularly those related to racialization, class, bodily capacities, and geopolitical location, among other factors. If we consider the categories of gender and sexuality, we can see that cisgender and heterosexual subject positions are at the top of the hierarchy, and the more we deviate from the norm, the lower down the hierarchy we fall. Something similar happens in the case of other power structures. In racialization structures, white subject positions are at the top, and the more a subject differs from whiteness, the lower down the hierarchy they fall. In relation to class, subject positions with high economic and cultural capital are at the top, while the bottom part of the hierarchy is occupied by a subject position with little to no economic and cultural power, or rather, dispossessed of economic and cultural power.